Transport Canada is ordering CP Rail to get its operations back on track. It says the scheduling system on some BC lines is a mess, and for some train operators, that's leading to extreme fatigue. The agency says the situation is an immediate threat to public safety. CBC reporter Dave Seglins broke the story, and he's with us this morning. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, Chris.
What did Transport Canada discover about CP train crews?
Well, last Thursday, a rail safety inspector in BC issued an order to CP, and there's a letter that is circulated widely to the railway unions and to the company. And it says that they've been hearing complaints from railroaders. They did an inspection, particularly on the lines, the extended service line between Kamloops into the greater Vancouver area, the ports at Coquitlam and Roberts Banks, and determined that based on that inspection and the complaints that they were documenting, that there were problems with the scheduling going on, a few very specific problems. One, railroaders have a maximum allowed time that they could be on the job, and that the company was including travel time from the company hotel facilities to the workplace, which in some cases can be extended periods. So calculating that as part of their on-duty time, so maybe it's a longer workday because they're not counting the travel time. And that the what are called the lineups, these are displays of the schedules that railroaders rely on. They go on the computer and they look at them and they see these lineups. And they try to judge when it is that they're going to be required to be at work. And they can gauge their, you know, their life activities, their rest, when they should sleep in anticipation. It's a tentative schedule. And apparently that those are so disrupted and they have so little information to go on that the railroaders are having trouble predicting when they need to be at work. All of that to say, this rail safety inspector issues this order saying, look, you've got to clean it up. It's causing excessive fatigue among the crews, and it is posing an immediate threat to the safe operations of the railway.
Now, you spoke to some of these rail crew members, I understand. What did they tell you?
Well, I'm going to be clear. I haven't talked to anyone that does the Kamloops to Vancouver line. So specific to that order, I don't have a lot of firsthand information. But through our several years of investigation into railway safety, post-Lac Megantic, I've talked to a lot of railroaders. I hear from a lot of people. I talk to their families, their wives, their family members. And fatigue is part of the job. This is not a glamorous life. For a large contingent of railroaders who aren't on regular schedules or in time pools, they are on call. They can be called to work in the middle of the night. They can be, you know, and so there's a lot of overnight work. There are long distances. It's pretty monotonous work. So fatigue comes with the job. But managing the fatigue, staying up on top of it, that it doesn't become a safety issue, is a bigger problem. And what they complain about is cutbacks to the company, fewer and fewer staff, less money being spent on, they call it deadheading, sending vans or replacement crews into remote areas to relieve a crew. There are cutbacks in those departments, meaning people are being left at their away-from-home terminals. What does that mean? So I take a run across the prairie, 8 hours in one direction, away from my home to my away-from-home terminal. You get put up by the company, either it's a bunkhouse or a motel or what have you, and you're stuck there, and you have to take rest, 8 hours sleep. That's fine. The problem comes then is if there aren't replacement crews and there's not a steady schedule to anticipate when you're coming back, a lot of railroaders are telling us they can be stuck there for 10, 12, 14 hours when they're awake, not knowing when the call is going to come. Then the call comes, and they're expected to report for duty, but they've already been up for 14 hours, and they've got to drive the train 8 hours back. So you can figure out quickly that you're now into a 22-hour day, and a lot of them complain that, you know, there are times that where they're so fatigued, and this is accumulating, you know, over week, that they're just exhausted at the controls.
Now, Dave, I'm looking right now at a map of CP's rail lines in BC where we broadcast, and we have, you know, you mentioned this Kamloops to Vancouver run. That is, what, about a third of all the track in BC. Do we know why it's particularly acute between Kamloops and the coast?
Well, there's something going on there. The order is specific to that run because it's called an ESR, which is an extended service run. And it's a special agreement that the company has with the unions that railroaders are able to take the train all the way across two subdivisions, so from Kamloops to the midpoint, midpoint into Greater Vancouver area. The only thing I can surmise, and I don't know this exactly, we've requested interviews with CP Rail. They've agreed in principle, but they've been very busy with their merger talks that we haven't been able to arrange it. But my understanding is those runs are so long that the margins for error, you know, if you've got somebody who's going to be working a longer than usual day, it's expected to be 10 hours, 11 hours, as opposed to the average run, which might be 7 or 8, then if you have delays, if there are cancellations, if you're having problems with the lineups where, you know, times change and it gets bumped longer and longer, the hours that people are awake and the margins of error are slimmer, right? So I think the problem's more acute and more pronounced on an extended run because you've got less downtime to play with, if you follow me.
Yeah, when you look at all of this, I mean, obviously some of this is gleaned from these letters and orders and the odd interview here and there. In your mind, what information are we missing? What would you like to know about this story that we don't already know?
I'd like to know what Transport Canada is really doing to address this. We've got one rail safety inspector who's issued this order. But through our research, we know that for several years, back in 2012, there was a Transport Canada expert hired, assessed the fatigue management plan of CP Rail and said it's lacking. Okay, so what did Transport Canada do about it at that time? Big question in my mind. Then we learn that in 2014, there was something called a national risk advisory sent out across Transport Canada. What was that? So we've gone to Transport Canada. They referred us to Access to Information. So for several months, we fought through Access to Information. I got copies of this national risk advisory, this bulletin going out saying there's a problem. The problem is it's all blacked out. And Transport Canada is saying, no, we can't release that information. And they cite these exemptions under Access to Information law saying, you know, commercial financial interests of the company are paramount. Well, if there's a national risk issue, why isn't the public being told what they're doing? And then as recent as last year, they did a national audit of CP's fatigue management policy. They looked at the formal fatigue management plan. They did interviews. They went into the Calgary offices. They looked at records. They came up with 11 findings, deficiencies. So Access to Information. What were the deficiencies? Transport Canada won't tell us. They released documents. All the details are blacked out, again, citing the company's commercial financial interests being paramount, not the public's right to know.
And so we get these trickles of information. What would you imagine comes next in all of this?
Well, we're watching a couple of things. On the ground, we're certainly watching what's going to happen with this order in Kamloops to Vancouver on the CP run. There's also some enforcement going on at CP Rail that we're watching. That's over the train incident near Revelstoke. If you'll recall the story about the train parked uphill from Revelstoke on a grade without proper brakes. So we're watching those individual cases. But at the macro level, we want to see what this new government in Ottawa is going to do in terms of public disclosure of information. Will the public get this open, transparent approach so that people who are interested in rail safety can learn what's really going on? And number two, I think, what's the government's marching orders going to be to Transport Canada in terms of enforcement and taking action against the rail companies if they keep finding these problems related to fatigue or, you know, it could be any number of things. It could be maintenance of the railways. It could be, the size of the loads they're carrying. So we're watching carefully what this new government's approach is going to be.
Dave, great to talk to you this morning. Thanks very much for this.
All right. Thanks for your interest, Chris.
Bye-bye.